Finally, today, this has been a moment in which artists from across the spectrum are being asked where they stand on the issues of the day. Well, nobody has to ask Talib Kweli. For more than two decades now, he's been considered a standard bearer for what's sometimes called conscious rap. My name is Kweli from the eternal reflection. People think your MC is shorthand for misconception. Let me meditate, set it straight. Came to the conclusion that most of these cats is featherweight. Let me demonstrate. That's the song Definition, Talib Kweli's first ever single from the 1998 album Black Star, where he was half of a hip-hop duo with fellow MC Yasin Bey, formerly known as Mos Def. Since then, he's recorded 8 solo albums and numerous collaborations. Talib Kweli's music provides social commentary layered over a bed of electric production values. Outside the studio, Kweli has been just as outspoken, whether it's sparring with Don Lemon on CNN or trolls on social media. So it may come as a surprise that his latest album is titled Radio Silence. Born again like a castaway, castigated for being honest. Cool being like a castaway, cause I feel like I'm stranded on an island. When I'm getting introspective, that's radio violence. But don't be fooled, Talib Kweli still has a lot to say. As we found out earlier this week when he joined us from our New York studios, I started by asking him what's changed for him and his music over the past 20 years.
I'm better at it. You know, you do something for a Gladwellian amount of time and you're supposed to be a master of that craft. You know, the earlier stuff people romanticize because it's how people were introduced to you, and people associate music with nostalgia and with memories. So it didn't let the fans tell it. From the Beatles to me, the fans would be like, it's that first album. And that's a blessing. It's not a curse at all. But for my money, I've only grown as an artist.
Do you think that your audience has grown with you, or you think you've grown with them? What do you think?
I think it's together. It's a mutual thing. My audience is taking this journey with me. My audience, when I first started, was college-age kids and kids who had no money to get in the club and kids who were hopping their turnstiles. Now they have bad knees and need babysitters. You know, it just happens.
God willing,
yes. Not all of them, though. Not all of them. I have a lot of new fans and younger fans who don't need babysitters and their knees are just fine. But as far as those OG fans, yeah, they grew with me.
Well, you know, a number of your fans also know you through social media, and you've been in the news lately because Twitter locked you out of your account following an exchange with a Texas attorney who was writing some things that many people perceived as deeply threatening. For those who hadn't followed this, even for those who haven't, would you just give us your take on what this controversy is about and why it matters?
Certainly. I've always been an outspoken artist in my music, and especially in social media. I take what the content of my lyrics are and put them in social media. People come to my Twitter all the time to spew sort of white supremacist ideals, anti-diversity. They're very scared of white genocide. They hate Black Lives Matter. They hate Hillary Clinton. So this guy, his first tweet to me was something about he's an attorney and I'm stupid and I'm not as intelligent as mentally challenged people he deals with. And when I looked on his page, he's spending all his time threatening people. He's calling people the N-word. He's calling people homophobic slurs like the F-word. He's threatening anti-fascists with guns. He's showing pictures of himself with guns. And he said he was an attorney. So I looked up his information on, there's a website called Find a Lawyer that's run by the Texas State Bar. And on that website is this guy's phone number and his address. He's also posted on his account his phone number and his address and encouraged people to hit him up if they have any grievances. So what I did was I posted his address and his phone number and I encouraged people to hit him up. That's what Twitter locked my account for. I feel like it was very hypocritical for them. I feel like they unintentionally protect white supremacy and protect white supremacists when they take actions like that. I stress unintentionally because I don't think people on Twitter are purposefully trying to enable white supremacy. But when it comes to oppression, intention doesn't matter. Results do.
Do you ever worry about the toll it might take on you to constantly be engaged with people like that?
I mean, quite the opposite. I'm empowered. It makes me feel good when I get a racist suspended from Twitter. It makes me feel good when people are empowered by what I say. Like, it's not a stressful thing at all. If anything, I'd be stressed out if nobody was doing nothing. No problem in history has ever been solved by people ignoring it. Racism is not something that goes away when you ignore it. As a matter of fact, the opposite occurs. When you ignore it, it gains strength in the dark. Nelson Mandela said, "Fools multiply when wise men remain silent." And I live my life by that. Some people would rather things be comfortable and convenient than deal with the inconvenient truth of racism. So they tell people like me, be quiet.
Well, given all that, where did the idea for the title of this album, Radio Silence, come from? Because you clearly aren't.
the radio is not indicative of what's going on in the culture. If you only listen to the radio, you won't really know what's going on in hip hop, especially in a digital age. So now we're at a point where I've established enough cultural currency where I don't need the radio to have my career be popping. If the radio goes silent tomorrow, my fans will still know where to find me.
To that end, let's talk about one of the cuts from the album where you are talking about something that is a real story, I mean, with real facts that people can verify if they are interested. Let me just play that. It's called She's My Hero. I'll play a little bit and then you can tell me more about it.
Here. Okay. Come
on. They say karma is a bitch, and when you take a life, you pay the price. But if your way of life ain't never been threatened and you safe at night, how you out here judging, thinking you giving people great advice? When those who should protect you disrespect you, you can't take it light. Brescia medals resemble my baby girl. 14 years old, taking a place in this crazy world. Her and her brothers lived in fear of her father's rage. He beat her mother so often, she prayed for the day she could be far away. Father's day in North.
So I understand that this is based on a true story. Do you want to briefly tell us about it?
Brescia Meadows, she was 14 years old when she shot her father while he was sleeping. She shot him because she said that he was abusing the entire family. The idea that a child of that age has to make such a weighty, heavy decision and felt like her only option in that situation, whatever situation she was going through, because, you know, I wasn't there, so it's all alleged, right? Whatever was going on in that house, she felt like her only option was to murder her father. You know, your father is who you come from, your father and your mother. The idea that you would want to murder them, either they have to be doing something that's so drastic that you feel like you have no other choice, or there has to be some mental illness going on there. And those, both domestic violence and mental illness, are things that are not talked about enough in our communities. And the story, I felt like, didn't get enough mainstream radio play. So I just, the track inspired me to want to try to tell the story from her perspective.
Do you feel that you're making progress? I mean, when you think about where you started out and where you are now. And I don't mean just on a personal level, in terms of what you hope for, what you wish for the society, for the people that you serve through your music. Do you feel that you're making progress?
I mean, I feel like every musician, even the ones that are depressed and take pills and say they're pessimists, really aren't. If you were that much of a pessimist, you would not make music. You have to be an optimist to make music. And we don't make music. Some people do, but that's not recommended. Some people make music to fit the trends. You have conscious rappers that talk about every subject, but their music be whack and corny and nobody want to hear from them. You don't have me on this program because I'm good at talking about politics. There's a lot of people who are probably better at talking about politics who could be on NPR. You have me on this program because I'm dope as a rapper and because I focus on the craft. That's what it is. It comes from the inside. When I first started rapping, I didn't have any fans. No one cared what I had to say. So I can't do it just because I have fans or just because people care what I have to say. If I don't have that fire burning on the inside, then it's not for the fans, it's for me. Yes.
Talib Kweli joined us from our bureau in New York. His latest album, Radio Silence, is out now.
Thank
Talib
you.
Kweli, thank you so much for speaking with us once again.
Of course, thank you.
You ready? Let's go. A wise man know what he know and what he doesn't. If he's not really sure what he's saying, he don't discuss it. A righteous man walks the earth without judgment and loves his enemies enough to deliver justice. A pious man relies on religion for his direction. At times he introspective, but his Bible he'll never question.